Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is now in South Carolina to see the damage firsthand from Hurricane Helene, which hit last week.
We're going down to see what the damage done. I'm going to be going back again to other states.
He'll later head to North Carolina and tomorrow to Georgia and Florida. The death toll now is 175 people. Israel's prime minister is vowing to retaliate after Iran launched its largest missile attack on his country. Israeli UN ambassador Danny Danon paints the nearly year-long conflict this way.
Behind every murder, every rocket launch, every plot stands the Iranian regime.
Despite growing tensions in the Middle East, oil prices are yet to spike skyward. But, says oil analyst Phil Flynn,
we're going to start pricing in the possibility that this conflict could have a major impact on the global economy and the price of oil.
Iran produces around 3 million barrels of oil daily. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force from Wisconsin is helping with Hurricane Helene relief. Members of Wisconsin Task Force 1 have specialized training and capabilities which can deploy in Wisconsin and beyond. 16 members of the Swiftwater Rescue Team left over the weekend to help with search efforts in North Carolina. They come from 8 fire departments from across the state. Donald Trump blaming the Biden-Harris administration for high prices at a campaign stop yesterday in Wanakee.
People that were saving a lot of money are now losing a lot of money. They're taking the money they saved and they're spending it. So we're going to get those prices down.
For her part, Kamala Harris says she wants to take on price gouging. She campaigns in the Fox Valley tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following our upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, October 3rd, in Wood County, the Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. The Village of Buren will hold their Personnel Committee meeting at 4. The Wisconsin Rapids Public Works Committee will meet at 5 in the Council Chambers. In Nakusa, the Committee of the Whole will meet at 5:30 in the City of Nakusa office. The Village of Port Edwards will have their Public Safety Special Meeting at 4 and their Finance and Human Resources Committee meeting at 4:30. The Town of Rome will have their CDA committee meeting and TIF Joint Review Board meetings at 3, and the Town Board meeting will begin at 5. In Portage County, the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board meets at 4, and the Human Resources Committee at 5. In Adams County, the Veterans Service Commission will meet at 10 a.m. at the Veterans of Foreign Wars on Linden Street in Adams. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers face elimination tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today in Game 2 of the best-of-three wildcard round. Yesterday, the Mets defeated the Brewers 8-4, retiring the final 17 batters to take the win. Willie Adames says the Brewers know it's all on the line tonight.
We are undaunted. We're going to come out and give the 100% out there on the field, and, you know, and we got to win or we go home. So the mentality is we got to win no matter what. We got to figure out a way to win and, you know, do our best.
First pitch is after 6:30 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play a decisive Game 3 tomorrow evening. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last weekend to the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced their 2024 training camp roster on Monday. Camp begins tomorrow for the Bucks. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures will scrape the low 70s. However, we will have a feisty wind gusting up to nearly 40 miles per hour at times, creating a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Winds ease tomorrow and highs return to the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
stars, the tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores! Badgers answer right back!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all about election security, what happens to ballots after you cast your vote. Hour number two, Alexander Vindman, should be fascinating. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Without giving away who our very special guest is that we are trying to get on the horn as we speak, I do want to just lay out a couple of teasers, and maybe you all can guess who this is, because I'm certain we're going to be able to get my very special guest on the horn before the end of this half hour. Something absolutely groundbreaking happened this year as it relates to Major League Baseball statistics. And that is that finally, in May of this year, Negro League statistics were included as part on equal footing with Major League Baseball statistics. Now, folks, you may, I don't know if I've talked about this, but my dad was a pitcher, never made it to the majors. So that's hint number two. So hint number one is this, again, groundbreaking change in how record keeping in the record books for Major League Baseball are kept. Again, in May of this year, Negro League statistics included. Hint number two is that my dad was a pitcher. So that might tip you off. Hint number three, my friends, is that, of course, the Brewers' biggest I-94 rival is the Chicago Cubs. So that is hint number three. And I will say this, hint number four as to who my special guest is. He has spent his life after baseball in public service, much like my father did. And so I am so excited to talk to our special guest today. But let's spend a couple of minutes as we try to get a hold of our very special guest, talking about really what this move to include the Negro League statistics within Major League Baseball meant. And let's be clear, folks, you know, this is recent American history, right? Jackie Robinson was the first Black player to play in the major leagues, and he joined the major leagues in 1947. And in 1948, the major leagues finally held their first integrated World Series. That was their last segregated World Series. By the 1949 World Series, it was finally fully integrated. That is, you know, not that long ago. And again, what happened to Negro League baseball players and then Black baseball players that joined the major leagues was nothing short of horrifying. It was nothing short of threats of everyday violence. And it made trying to play the game, the thing that they loved, extraordinarily difficult. If you can imagine playing the sport, the thing that you've trained your life to do, and traveling, and you can't stay in the hotel with your team, you can't eat with your team, you are assaulted with verbal, just the most debased language you can imagine, especially when they were playing teams in the South. This was an abomination for Major League Baseball. Of course, we didn't even get to the Civil Rights Act until 1964, but the legacy of this within Major League Baseball is long and it is complicated. And I just have to say this, it is shocking to me, some of the responses from sports pundits in response to the Negro League statistics finally being included with Major League Baseball statistics. Now, this wasn't a short process. The Major League Baseball announced its intention to add the Negro League statistics in 2020. And it has taken these 4 years to get to this point. Back in 2020, MLB formed a 15-person committee to help determine how to incorporate these statistics because the leagues weren't exactly equivalent, right? So you have to figure out as both a matter of historical reference, you got to verify that, and then how do you make statistics, these statistics comparable? And again, in the past, one of the sort of, I would say, fig leaf objections that had been given about why Negro League statistics weren't including with MLB statistics is that we didn't have comprehensive enough data. But what has happened in I would say, the past 10 years is that researchers and scholars of the game have really gone into the old records and scorebooks and newspapers and microfiche to assemble what is a verified and comprehensive historical record of all of the Negro League records. And what has occurred is that, you know, some of these folks have surpassed previously held records in Major League Baseball. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of my most distinct pleasures and honor. If you haven't guessed who my very special guest is this afternoon, it is Mr. Dennis Bose Biddle, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues. Mr. Biddle, thanks so much for working with us to get you on the air here, sir. It is certainly a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing this afternoon, Mr. Biddle?
I'm doing fine. As I always say, I'm blessed by the best, and I do the rest.
I love that. I saw that. I was reading up about your storied career, sir, and I actually jotted a note down because I thought, I'm going to put that one into the old memory banks. I'm blessed by the best, and I will do the rest. I love that, Mr. Biddle. Can you tell folks how your baseball career began? Because it almost didn't happen. You were almost going to shove off to, I believe, Grambling State to play football on a scholarship.
That's right. Well, you know, back in the 50s, early 50s, when I played, the Major League Scouts were not scouting black schools. This is a few years after Jackie Robinson and before they started doing it. And I was never scouted by a Major League Scout, even though I was an All-State baseball player. But I also was an All-State football player and All-State basketball player. And upon graduation, my graduation year, I had scholarship offers to play football, basketball, and baseball. No scholarship to play baseball, but I had basketball and football. So Mr. Eddie Robinson, who was the coach at Grambling College, called and invited me to come to the school, and I did. And everything looked great. I turned down the basketball scholarship, and I was getting ready to accept the football scholarship when I got a call from the Negro League asking me if I'd like to try out for the Chicago American Giants. And
we're going to find out what happened next. Mr. Biddle, we got to take a couple of important messages to hear how Mr. Biddle ended up playing in the Negro Leagues. You got to keep it locked here, folks. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In honor of the Negro League baseball statistics inclusion with MLB and in honor of the playoffs and my dad's birthday, you're going to want to tune back in and keep it locked. Here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we're going to hear more from the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues, Mr. Dennis Biddle, when we return after these brief messages.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Pumped up, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's my privilege and honor. I'm so excited to be joined today in honor of the MLB playoffs and the inclusion of Negro League statistics finally in Major League Baseball statistics by the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues. He is 89 years young, folks. His name is Dennis Bose Biddle. And he almost did not play in the Negro Leagues. Mr. Biddle, when we were talking last, you left off with you were about ready to head off to play football on a full ride scholarship at Grambling State. And you got a phone call from the Chicago American Giants, one of the Negro League teams, and they wanted you to come up and try out, sir. What happened next?
Well, I really didn't understand tryout. If I was on the team, but I wanted to play baseball and, I went to Chicago and I guess I tried out for the team. I thought I was on the team. I tried out and I made the team. So I joined the Giants in 1953 as a Negro League ball player.
And you were how old, sir, when you started playing Major League Baseball for the Negro Leagues?
I was 17 years old. I was I had just graduated from high school, and 2 weeks later, I was playing my first professional baseball game in Memphis, Tennessee. I was with the Chicago American Giants.
That is incredible. And you played two seasons with the Chicago American Giants, and then Major League Baseball called. Not the Negro Leagues, but the MLB, did they not, sir?
Well, see, you know, man, in my book, I tell about how that transpired because Major Leagues, they didn't scout us. And I was on the Major League, the Negro League team, after Jackie Robinson became a training ground for the Major Leagues. And people don't know this, but Bress Rickey's long-range goal was to use the Negro League as a minor league system. They don't write about it much because a lot of our history was not written down. A lot of the stats you talked about was not written down also, because the Negro League team could not hire a statistician to travel with the team. The players themselves kept a lot of their own records. In my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, there's a way things was happening back then, because if a major league team were interested in a player that was on a Negro League team, they had to purchase his contract from the team he was on. The team he was on would get enough money from the major league to pay those older guys that was training us to keep the league going. This is what's hidden. This is something that's not written down about what happened in the Negro League, and this was after Jackie Robinson. And I sum it up by saying very little was written down about the Negro League from 1949 to 1963. Mm.
That is how Major League Baseball used the Negro League, sir, as you were saying, as sort of a minor league, a farm league, if you will, for MLB. And yet it sounds like, you know, this was a relationship that was very asymmetrical in economic power and who got to call the shots. And, sir, you got to the first day of spring training for the Chicago Cubs, and the unthinkable happened.
Right. I broke my ankle in two places. But what I really want to say, that ended my really major league career, but I felt I could still run as fast as I ever did, but my ankle never healed. It was broken in two places. But what people don't know, man, is that players like Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, all was just like I was. They had that long binding contract from the Negro League team they was on, and the Major League team that was interested had to purchase their contract. It's in my book, Secrets of the Negro Baseball League, because they didn't write about that. They didn't know what was happening back then. The Negro team was getting the players ready for the major league because that was a money-making industry for the team at that time. It for about four or 5 years, but it ended up that way, yes.
Folks, you can find that book by Mr. Biddle at DennisBiddle.com. He also runs and he is the president of yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation. And do you still have that store in Mayfair Mall? I remember seeing the store that I believe you've run for years with your wife, Patrice, in Mayfair, where you've got some of your memorabilia, your book, and you share some of your recollections of your time in both the Negro League and Major League Baseball.
Yeah, thank you. We do still have the store. Right now, it's not open. It will be open the 1st of November. It's called Legacy Sportswear. It's at Mayfair Mall. We moved to a different location, and that's why the store is not open at this time. It will be open November the 1st.
Yeah, check it out in Mayfair Mall. Again, folks, I'm talking with Dennis Biddle, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues, in honor of MLB playoffs, game two of the wild card, Brewers and New York Mets meeting this evening. I'm going with my pops. Mr. Biddle, my dad was a pitcher as well. Never made it to any of the leagues. But I did want to ask you, sir, because I heard that you are the man who beat the man who beat the man. And yes, we're going to have to take a couple messages, but can you stick around for a little bit more? Because I want everybody to know you are the man who beat the man who beat the man when it comes to pitchers. And I want you to tell that story. Do you have a few more minutes for us, sir?
Yes, I do. I'll be glad.
Wonderful. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, talking with Mr. Dennis Biddle, the president of yesterday's Negro Baseball Players Foundation, the youngest living player of the Negro Leagues at a very young 89 years old. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More to come, including a discussion with Sarah Spain, the strategic communications director of Emily's List. We're going to talk about that debate when we come back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue, a nonprofit organization that provides free planting, haying, harvesting,
commodity hauling, and livestock feeding assistance to farm families who have experienced a major illness, injury, or even natural disaster, has officially added Wisconsin to its growing list of service states. Dan Erdman, Marketing Program Manager at Farm Rescue, shares how they've gotten to this point to be able to expand since their inception in 2005.
We do work all across the Midwest. Like I said, it's 9 states. And early on, it was immediately apparent that, you know, this is not an isolated need. There are families dealing with unexpected injuries, illnesses, or natural disasters across the country. You know, so when we have the resources available and volunteers and funding to expand our mission, that's always been a major goal. And Wisconsin is another great, you know, agriculturally driven state. It works well within our current geographical footprint. And, you know, we're just honored to have the opportunity to offer our services to Wisconsin farm families in crisis.
You can learn more about Farm Rescue by heading to MidwestFarmReport.com. I'll have more news right after this.
They are my go-to for my tailgate. Yep. Bavaria sausage, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, check out their website, BavariaSausage.com, for all the flavor selections you can feature at your tailgate. They are going through an upgrade on that website, so keep checking back often. You can also find out more on their Facebook page. If you're in the Madison area, check out their retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. That's where you'll find my Berkey Brats, one of my favorites. And remember, their store hours have expanded. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturdays, 9 until 1. Don't miss an opportunity with the weather that we've been given. Get out there and tailgate and enjoy it with your neighbors and impress them with the flavors that you select. Bavaria Sausage will get you on your way. Again, check back often because their website's going through updates. BavariaSausage.com or the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, and you tell them the Farm Babe sent you.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. World Dairy Expo will welcome U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack to speak at the Global Dairy Summit here in Madison. The event, hosted by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, takes place on Friday, October 4th at 9 a.m. The summit will be held at the Tanbark on the expo grounds at Alliant Energy Center. This event is free to attend with a paid admission to the World Dairy Expo. You can learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. If you are headed out to World Dairy Expo anytime this week, be sure to keep an eye out for Pam and all of us here at the Midwest Farm Report, as we'll be there getting more news to keep you up to date on all things agriculture. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures will scrape the low 70s. However, we will have a feisty wind gusting up to nearly 40 miles per hour at times, creating a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Winds ease tomorrow and highs return to the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... No, really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the legendary comedy team, Stephen Leo, writers of The Santa Claus, Space Jam, and Kicking and Screaming. And Abby Novak joins the show to talk Appleton's Shop, Sip, and Stroll.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hanson, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Radio
show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so happy and very thankful to be joined for these segments to kick off our show on this special Major League Baseball Playoff Wednesday by none other than the youngest man, the youngest living player from the Negro Leagues, Mr. Dennis Bose Biddle. Welcome back, Mr. Biddle. Welcome, everybody who's listening. Very special treat here. Again, in honor of the playoffs, in honor of the Negro League statistics finally being included with Major League Baseball, and also a small way, a shout out to my dad, whose birthday was yesterday, who is also a pitcher. Mr. Biddle, before the break, I was talking to you about the fact that you are known as the man who beat the man who beat the man. Please explain, because this is really cool.
Yeah. And 1950, my second professional baseball game was pitched at Racine, Wisconsin at O'Hallock Field. And I was pitching against a legendary pitcher named Gerald Lefty McGinnis. He had been in the league for a long time, and I was pitching against him, and I was winning the game. And I won the game 3-1. At the end of the game, the manager, Ted Double Doo, the director, walked up to me and said that Mr. McGinnis was one of the very few pitchers to ever beat Satchel Paige. And Satchel Paige was known in the Negro League as the man.
Yes.
So one of the players, Clyde McNeil, said, "Hey, Biddle, you just beat the man who beat the man."
I so love it.
They nicknamed me as the man who beat the man who beat the man.
I love that, Mr. Biddle. Yeah, that's a good one. I think you can legitimately claim that you could go toe-to-toe with Satchel Paige and probably beat him, sir. That is an impressive statistic, one that is not recorded in the record books, but an impressive statistic nonetheless. Before I let you go here, Mr. Biddle, I wanted to also share with the listeners, all you folks out there listening, that after your baseball career, sir, you devoted your life to public service. Tell folks a bit about that.
Well, I went to college and became a social worker. And I worked for the state of Wisconsin 24 years as a social worker, and I retired. I worked 13 of those years with an Ethan Allen School for Boys. Where Ethan Allen School for Boys is where I loved that job because I had an opportunity to give some of my history to young people that had messed up a little bit in their life, and I felt I would help them out. So I'm grateful for that time I spent with Ethan Allen at Ethan Allen School, and I helped a lot of young people. Even today, a lot of young men come by the mall where I am. Mr. Bill, remember me? I don't remember them anymore, but they was a kid at Ethan Allen School, and they remembered me, and they would introduce me to their wife, their kids, and thank me for turning their life around. And that part of my life, I'm thankful for. Yeah.
And we're thankful for your service, sir, and for helping make today's baseball what it is. It wouldn't be what it is today without the Negro Leagues and without the contributions of men just like yourself. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, Mr. Biddle, for helping me celebrate my dad's birthday in this way, as well as the Brewers making the playoffs.
Yes.
You are a Wisconsin treasure, and I wish you the best. I will reach out to you because I'd love to talk with you more about the Negro Leagues if you'd be open to that, sir.
Right. I am open to it. Anytime.
Wonderful, folks.
There's so much more that has not been revealed, even with the stats. There are players living today, stats, well, I'll shatter some of the stats that they got, but they'll never know because nothing was written down about them. I had the opportunity to play with and against some of the greatest baseball players that ever played the game, and I'm thankful for that today.
I would love to talk with you about that more. I will be in touch. We will get that set up maybe so that we can celebrate a little bit more postseason baseball as the postseason goes forward. Folks, you can find Mr. Biddle's store in Mayfair Mall. They'll be back open on November 1st. You can find his book, all sorts of memorabilia at DennisBiddle.com. And you can follow him on Instagram at Dennis Biddle. Thank you again, Mr. Biddle. All the best to you, sir. We'll be talking again soon. We're going to turn the page, folks, and we got to talk a little politics because, holy cow, that was an interesting debate last night. And I couldn't think of anybody better to talk about it with today than Sarah Spain. She is the Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. Prior to coming to Emily's List, she managed the reproductive rights vertical at Berlin Rosen, a communication consulting firm. She also worked as a fellow for Hillary for America. Welcome, Sarah. Thanks so much for spending some of your post-debate time with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you for having me.
What were your initial impressions? Because I immediately had a few. What did you, as the debate began, what were you thinking and feeling?
Where to start on this debate, you know? I think a lot of feelings. It was good to see Tim Walz up there against J.D. Vance. I think they just offered a very clear contrast to one another, which I think most people watching would agree with. Starting right off, J.D. Vance, you know, is getting in using eloquent language, but saying a lot of lies right off the bat. And I think we saw that throughout the entire debate. And I think his strategy really was speak eloquently while saying these lies, a little bit different than Trump in his debate. And so it did look a little bit different as we went through it. But again, the same lies that we saw on the stage with Trump, just presented a little bit differently.
We were maybe, 15, 20 minutes into the debate, and I'll tell you what I was experiencing was a deep sense of anxiety, like a sick pit in my stomach, because watching J.D. Vance, that is what authoritarianism, religious oppression, inequality, racism, and misogyny looks like when it's dressed up and packaged correctly. We have been, offered an opportunity with Donald Trump because he's so unpracticed, so unvarnished, and frankly, so bad at making the completely unpalatable and frankly disgusting. He can't make it seem anything other than disgusting in many ways. J.D. Vance can. That's what I was thinking. Like, we're looking at, if we are unable to sort of turn the page definitively in this election cycle, that's the next incarnation of a post-democratic United States. I mean, whether we're talking about J.D. Vance's bizarre brand of Christian alt-right nationalism, his bowing of the knee to the billionaire bros, or his embrace of these complete wingnuts that think we need to literally burn our government to the ground. He talks about this post-republic idea. And what he means there is not post-Republican in terms of party. He means the end of our democratic republic as we've known it. I was scared. But then I was heartened by this regular man, this regular guy who happens to be a politician. That's what I felt about Governor Walz. Like, here's a regular person who happens to be a politician, not a professional politician, not a professional snake oil salesman, right? I thought those differences were so stark. Here in Wisconsin, of course, we've got a different incarnation of this MAGA version or view of the world in Senate candidate Eric Hovde. And the commonality between him and J.D. Vance is they've apparently forgotten all of the times that they have said that they want abortion banned. Like, they've had this great amnesia. Sarah, your thoughts on this, because the truth of the matter here is that these guys have extreme opinions on reproductive freedom and the individual's right to choose their health care in consultation with their family, religious leaders, and doctors.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. And I think you're absolutely right that the version of J.D. Vance that we're seeing kind of dressed up and hiding away some of these extremist, racist, you know, anti-women ideals is almost more dangerous than what we see with Trump, where it's very apparent. So I absolutely agree with you. And I think we are seeing this with J.D. Vance. We're seeing it with Eric Hovde. We're seeing it up and down the ballot across the country. And it all started after Roe was overturned. And, you know, we've had these elections where voters have come out in red states, in blue states, in swing states, saying we care about abortion, we want to protect it. And it's the majority of voters. And so Republicans aren't stupid. They can read a poll. And so they've been reading these polls, realizing that abortion for this election is going to be fought and won on abortion. And so they're out here hiding their, you know, very anti-abortion stances and very anti-abortion records from voters so that they can get the vote. But the reality is, once they're in office, we know exactly what they're going to do. And I think for us, we're lucky that we have the records of President Trump from his first administration. We have the records from J.D. Vance in Senate, and they're very clear where they stand. And so I think for us, especially at Emily's List, we have 34 days until the election, and we want to remind voters, it doesn't matter what they say on this debate stage. It doesn't matter what they're saying, you know, when they're talking about where they stand on abortion, look at their records. They're very clear. And I think that's kind of what we want to continue reminding voters.
It's so important. Again, I encourage people to check out Emily's List. You can avail yourself of some of the information that you all have gathered so that you can review candidates' records on reproductive freedoms. One of the tacks that they've taken, Sarah, is to sort of spin this as, well, of course we don't oppose fertility treatments. Of course, because we're pro-family, and they're sort of trying to put this really nice bow on all of this. But that's all garbage too. I mean, the courts are reaching conclusions that are inevitable and in the inexorable outcome of the declaration that life begins at conception. Your reactions to this sort of, not just dressing it up with nice words because it's J.D. Vance, right? The Ivy League version of MAGAism, right? But this particular tack that, oh, we're pro-family and that means we want to support fertility treatments, they weren't talking about that 5 years ago at all.
No, they weren't talking about that. And, you know, I think my reaction is same as yours. That's pure BS. It's not true. It's not real. And I was at a watch party last night where when J.D. Vance on the stage said, I want to be pro-family, I want to be pro-fertility, everyone screamed. And the reason being, he, for the first time when it was in Senate, voted against the IVF bill, and the second time didn't even show up for the vote. And the second time was when, you know, he was already on the ticket as the vice president. And so it's really clear where he stands. And to just put these words into the atmosphere of, oh, I'm pro-fertility treatment, I think Trump has been doing the same because he sees how important this is to people after the case in Alabama. But we know that that's not the truth. They've had the opportunity, Vance specifically, to vote on it and didn't. And so, again, looking at their records, so essential in these cases.
Yeah, where were you, JD, when we were trying to protect fertility treatments? He didn't take that vote. We've got more coming up with Sarah Spain, the Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. Because we're in the 2:30 block, we are always talking to Emily's List. If it is a Wednesday, you can mark your calendars by that. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a brief moment here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What was your most infuriating moment of the night? I had a few. Back in just a bit. Move out, don't mess around. Move out.
Your You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta potty. Don't let the thought of a porta potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks, and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today at 423-0539.
Warm the hearts of the Wisconsin Rapids area is back again. Tri-City Services wants to warm the hearts of their neighbors by giving a furnace to a deserving person or family in need. Do you know someone who needs a helping hand as they get their life back on track? A neighbor struggling to keep afloat? Maybe even that someone is you. Then head to calltricity.com before October 18th and nominate them or yourself. The Warm Hearts Committee will select a recipient and Tri-City Services will install a new, safe, and efficient furnace for them completely free of charge. Applications must be received on or before October 18th, as any submitted after will not qualify. Tri-City Services are your heating, cooling, and refrigeration experts in the Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield areas. With upfront pricing, warranty on repairs, and 24-hour emergency services, they're the experts you call when you're in need. Be a good neighbor and help Tri-City Services warm the hearts of Wisconsin Rapids before October 18th. Head to calltricity.com and learn more today.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this half hour by Sarah Spain, Director of Strategic Communications at Emily's List. By the way, she also went to The Ohio State University, is a proud Buckeye, so she knows a thing or two about politicians from Ohio. Welcome back, Sarah. Folks, if you would like to voice some of your reactions, perhaps frustrations, with the snake oil that was being shucked on the stage last night by J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, 855-752-4842. Sarah and I want to hear from you. There were a lot of lies. There was a lot of politeness, too, in the debate, right? The tone wasn't attacking each other. They attacked, you know, top of the ticket. How do you, just as a political question, Sarah, aside from the specifics, I can speak, I swear. Even radio show hosts sometimes stumble over their words. Aside from the specifics of the reproductive freedom debate, on the overall tone and frankly, politeness of the debate, what was your reaction to that? I personally thought that worked very well for the Harris-Walz ticket. I think given Tim Walz's sort of self-acknowledged challenges in debating, for him to actively engage in fact-checking would have been really challenging for him. And I just don't think he's the right personality type to do attack dog in that sort of a setting. What was your reaction to just the overall tenor of the debate?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're not used to polite debates. Like, I think we have seen Trump debate all of these years. And so coming back to this theme of a polite debate, it almost was startling. And I think, you know, some people liked that J.D. Vance was being polite. And it's a reminder that just because we're seeing politeness in a debate doesn't mean that their values aren't anti-democratic, aren't anti-women, aren't racist, sexist. So I think when I was watching, I was just thinking, it's been so long since we've seen this. And I hope in the future we continue to see these more polite debates between candidates. But agree, I think it was a bit startling at the beginning.
Weird. I mean, since Trump blasted onto the scene or rode down his golden escalator onto the scene in a real formal way, debates, especially on the Republican side in 2016 and even in this primary cycle, things have been so ugly. It was sort of like, wait a minute, are these people actually being, you know, respectful to one another? Boy, this is strange. And the oddity of that moment itself was notable to me. The fact that it was striking me as so strange that there was such, again, at least the veneer of respect and politesse seemed, again, depressingly odd to me. Let's take a caller. Cam from Appleton, you say what? Say hello to Sarah. And what were your thoughts about the debate, sir?
Hello, Sarah, and hello, Maggie. I watched all of it last night, and I think for people that aren't familiar with Tim Walz, you can throw meme after meme around about him being the average dad, the normal guy, and it's, I got to tell you guys, it's really not a meme. It's like, it is legit. He is a human being. It's, I describe him as like one of the first politicians that gives me no lizard vibes in any politic. And he may have misstepped, and he said that he's a knucklehead. I don't blame him for misremembering a 35 year ago trip to a country that he's been multiple times. He's like, so what, who cares? The entire debate, though, you worded it so well, Maggie, the pit in the stomach, because yeah, I can admit when someone I hate is doing something that I think is done well, and JD was talking. He was talking a lot better than Trump does, and that was damn near infuriating. And last thing before I go, oh my God, like after this election cycle, can we please talk about a way to figure out how to get men to understand that women can miss periods, they can have late periods, they can have early periods. It's like everyone just failed basic sex ed.
I couldn't agree with you more, Cam. How about this as a starting point? Women are not merely vessels for carrying children. And after we bear children, we are not simply humanoids designed to provide caretaking for men and children. That women have legitimately different aspirations that include motherhood, that can be stay-at-home mothers, but it can include every single thing that a man does. They seem to have not gotten that message. I mean, for crying out loud, some of the guys that J.D. Vance follows and listens to and subscribe to want to repeal the 19th Amendment. Like, they literally do not want women voting. Sarah, how do you think that the Democratic strategy around reproductive freedoms is playing out?
Yes, that is an awesome question. I thought that Tim Walz did really well in reproductive rights last night. And it shows, I mean, he's fought for reproductive rights in Minnesota. I think it's shown truly how much he cares about this issue. It wasn't just something that he was saying to voters. He cares about this and has fought for it. And I thought it was very clear on stage that this is an issue that matters to him. IVF, birth control, abortion. He talked about it all. And I think it's something we've seen him fight for in his state. And it's very clear that he's going to fight for it for the country as well. So I think what we've seen is that Democrats are running on an issue that they care about.
We got to leave it there. That's Sarah Spain, the Senior Communications Director for Strategic Comms at Emily's List. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with Maggie and the Millionaires after these messages.
It must be exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll discuss the new film Closure, the story of the closing of our two-year campuses, and also look ahead to a visit from Vice President Harris next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.